Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Anything going on in America today?
I think we break down that weekend of football, baby.
What a weekend.
Specifically today, there is the college football national championship going on.
7:30 tonight.
7:30, Notre Dame and the
Ohio State University.
Ohio State.
I will root for Notre Dame, but for no other reason than I cannot stand the fact that Ohio State tried to
trademark the word the.
They lost me at the.
A very exciting weekend in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Chiefs going to their seventh AFC championship in a row.
The Arrowhead Invitational is on.
By the way, that is now 14 seasons in a row that either Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady has appeared in the AFC championship game.
Is that a fact? Is that a fact?
Yes.
The one thing I would urge people to go back and look at, if you missed it, when the unbelievable falling backward Mahomes pass to Travis Kelce for a touchdown happened, just unbelievable. Go back and don't watch Kelce's receiving of that ball. Don't even look at that. Look at the opposing player behind him as the ball is thrown.
Behind Kelce.
Yep. He's just standing there. He puts his head in his hands like this and just leaves it there for like 3 seconds. Like, as the pass is thrown, he knew what was happening. Then it happened.
Well, he's only the greatest tight end in NFL history. Why mark up?
I know.
That was an extraordinary touchdown.
The head in the hands.
Stretched out, leaning forward in the air.
And if you're looking for something to do this week over this awful, cold, dreary, horrible week, go into Union Station. We had dinner at Pierpont's with friends Friday night, one of my favorite spots to go. And on the way out, they have the enormous Let's Go Chiefs lit up display where you can get photos with the children. And then they have a gigantic, and I mean gigantic, blown up photo of Travis Kelce doing his pointing to Mahomes the way he does in a game. Like, hey, baby.
With the gun.
Right? It's sort of it's more like, look at you, look at you. That's blown up. And so you can go with your family and get photos with that. And it's hilarious. Cool. We did it. I mean,
and
it's
they got
hilarious.
The big Chiefs Kingdom and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
The lights that you can take the pictures with.
All right. So, Sam, in the last 14 years, either Mahomes or Brady have been, or both, have been in the AFC Championship.
That is correct.
When was the last time one of those two was not?
2010.
Who was it?
Wow.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh.
Wait. And the New York Jets.
Oh, dang it. The Jets?
The New York Jets.
You have to reach way back for some glorious history, don't you?
Wow.
We watched a lot of football over the weekend.
By the way,
Rex Ryan was the coach of the Jets that year. I'm trying to see who their quarterback
was. And might be
was.
Again next season. Quarterback in 2010, was it?
Is today the day that the coaches get fired if they lost, or if you made it this far, do you not get fired?
If you made it this far, for the most part, you wouldn't get fired. They're definitely not getting rid of Dan Campbell in Detroit.
What happened to Baltimore last night?
What happened to Detroit?
Oh, yeah. We're not a sports station, but all of the analysts all year long were saying that the Chiefs need to watch out for the Bills, the Lions. The Lions are going to walk all over
this
the Chiefs.
This was their year.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they did something with a pooch. It happens.
Nice.
Speaking of it happens, one of us left with 9 working toes on Friday.
No, 10.
One of us left with 10. And then
all of us left with
10. We all left with 10 on Friday.
Slunk in today like the old man in the movie Up.
Seriously?
Would you like to describe...
Just as grouchy.
What happened that led to your injury?
So last night, we're watching the late game, Bills and Ravens.
The other very important game of the weekend.
Yeah.
And T is sleeping in front of the gas-fueled fireplace, taking a nap.
Hashtag too good for Wood.
Too good for Wood. I jump up. I think it was just a commercial break in the Ravens-Bills game. And I'm going to run to the kitchen. I'm going to grab – I wanted to grab a Gatorade and a little snack. I jump up.
Yeah, you need a fuel up.
Yeah, you know, we don't wear shoes in my home.
You're watching.
And I kicked the leg of the love seat in the living room. And I screamed out, I'm telling you right now, and I've broken toes before. It is a pain that starts in your foot, but it goes up your leg, into your gut, and into your soul.
And you think, this is how it ends.
Yes, it is one of the most excruciating pains you can possibly imagine. And I kicked that leg. It was, of course, an accident. I kicked the leg of the love seat, and I scream out, F-bomb, S-bomb, F-bomb, S-bomb. T jumps up. She goes, what is going on? And I said, I just broke my pinky toe on my left foot. And she looks at me, and she goes, how do you know you broke it? And I said, babe, I've broken enough bones in my life. I know when a bone is broken, you can tell it gets really hot real fast, and then it starts to pulsate. You can feel the blood pressure in your toe.
Symptoms include pain, swelling, bruising, or bleeding under the skin, and changing skin color.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Please consult your doctor.
And so it is painful to walk. Maya came over on her way back to college because she needed money. And there were a couple of times, if I step on it, just so wrongly, it is a pain that I cannot describe.
You know, you're supposed to immobilize said injury, Scott.
Yeah, well, I have to walk.
You can use a splint, buddy tape the toe to the next toe, or we could get you a special pair of orthopedic shoes.
I'm good.
Or a scooter. Let's get you a scooter.
Did you not buddy tape it? I want you to buddy tape it.
No.
Oh, we need to get you one of those little get around carts.
Oh yeah.
Like in the shopping, you know, people ride.
No, there's one that you put your knee on.
No.
Let's get you a rascal.
Yes.
Shut up, Sam.
Please.
Shut up.
Now, as
there's nothing you can do about it, right?
No, there's nothing you can do.
As the only first responder here on the show, I am offering my services for either splinting, binding, or amputation.
I tell you what.
Speaking of.
I would cut it off if it would end the pain.
No, I think it would not end the pain. It would exacerbate the pain. And I'm pretty sure your pinky toe is the toe you use for balance.
I believe that's
not
correct.
Not that you have any. But you want to preserve what little you have left.
You'd never hit the couch again. Ooh.
You know, this is not the first time I've broken this toe on this show.
I didn't know that.
When I was in Roland Park, I did it.
By the way,
with you,
Scott,
you weren't there, but you were on the show.
Man, fluing the heck out of this broken toe.
Well, I mean,
you know that hurts.
You are. I watched you walk through that newsroom perfectly fine, and then turn around and walk back with a.
Well, how do you tell?
And nobody can see what I'm doing, but it's bad.
That hurts.
How can you tell if it's broken or not? The way he moves through the place. I'm just saying.
Back to the Chiefs really quick. I'm so excited. Our good friend, Janerald Wilson, just posted this on Twitter. Kansas City, in all caps, so honored to receive the call off the bench to join you in singing our national anthem during the AFC Championship game Sunday, January 26th. You already know how much I love the Chiefs. You can imagine how I'm feeling right now. God is good. There is not a humble, more lovely public servant. Retired Navy, I believe, Gerald is.
I believe that's correct.
We have had him on the program to sing before.
Maybe he can come in on Friday.
I am going to reach out and see if he will come onto the program.
Most beautiful voice you've ever heard.
He sings God Bless America, brings you to your knees. Mm-hmm. Well, not you. You've got a broken toe. But if you could go to your knees, it would be a
first, your knees would have to work.
Very moving
just doesn't end, does
on
it?
On the program. Actually, we're going to have Gennaro on the show, but ask him not to sing. We don't need you going down.
Like a pinata at a birthday party.
Scott, I hope that your toe heals very quickly.
No, you don't.
And I do apologize for the pain that you are enduring.
You said I'm man-fluing this.
You are man-fluing it. There is no denying that.
Look, the man-flu is a real thing.
I'm going to give him credit where credit is due. You did not stay home with a broken bone on a day that no one is working. Almost no one... Certainly in this building, no one is working. If you are in finance, if you are...
I came in the day after I broke a rib.
Pretty sure the post offices are closed. I know you did.
I'm not staying home for some broken bone.
The toe splint must be added to the 2025 Scott Parks Halloween costume.
What's your word of the year, buddy toe? All
right. The NFL, by the way, is standing by the officiating in the Chiefs' 23-14 win over the Texans in the divisional round playoff game on Saturday. NFL Senior VP of Officiating Walt Anderson addressing multiple penalties against the Texans for unnecessary roughness and roughing the passer on Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes following uproar across the nation over the officiating.
Uproar.
If there was an uproar, is it true it was the most watched game ever on ESPN?
NFL game, yes.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Including frustration from ESPN analyst Troy Aikman in the booth. During an appearance on NFL Game Day on Sunday morning, Anderson first explained a roughing the passer call in the first quarter when Mahomes was tackled by Houston defensive end Will Anderson.
With his head.
After releasing the ball during the third down play. But there was a later roughing the passer call where the Houston Texans actually hit themselves and
after hitting
slow
his
replay.
Helmet.
No.
Yeah, no. I thought they hit Mahomes' helmet.
But if you watch it in slow-mo, they never touched his helmet.
The first one was definite contact.
Agreed.
Definite roughing the passer. The second one, yeah, you know.
Modern NFL. Okay, hey, it's their game, their rules.
Anyway, I was watching Morning Joe this morning. There are people in this country convinced that the officiating is...
Give me a...
I'm telling you.
Why? For more eyeballs? We are already one of the most watched teams, if not the most watched team in the league.
There were people on Morning Joe today convinced that the refs are in the pocket of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, I'm not going to say they're in the pocket of the Chiefs, but it is very subjective when they call certain things.
Sure it is.
For example, you could call holding on 99% of the plays.
That's correct.
Why do they choose to call it when they do? You never know. I don't know.
Well, and one of the guys on Morning Joe said, listen, Jordan got the calls. Mahomes is going to get the calls. That's just the way it is.
I'll take that comparison.
But Sam, why do they hate us?
Because they ain't us.
That's right, because they ain't us.
Boom.
Quick break. Dana Ryan, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Stevie Ray. This came up on the program, I believe it was late on Friday during Festivus Friday, if I'm not mistaken, and we now have the story. We told the caller, hey, be honest, we don't know anything about it. Give us some time to look into it. So we have. And here is the story. It's from the Topeka Capital Journal. Some dumpsters at Lou McGinnis-owned apartment buildings in Topeka were still overflowing with trash today, while an attorney for Eucalyptus LLC assured Topeka City Council members the issue has already been resolved.
Yeah, by the way, that today was last Monday.
Last Monday.
Ago.
Thank you. It is not a problem anymore. There are new dumpsters, said Frederick Redwine during last Tuesday's council meeting. They are picked up 2-3 times a week. There is no more trash problem. But on Monday of last week, a week ago today.
Are we sure about that?
A reporter for the Topeka Capital Journal visited the same 5 properties that it had visited in December when residents complained of massive piles of trash and inconsistent emptying of dumpsters. 2 still had dozens of trash bags, boxes, and other items covering the ground around the overfilled dumpsters, while rubbish at a 3rd site was being cleaned up by an employee. Now, it's our understanding that this Lou McGinnis owns 70% of the apartments in Topeka.
Can a city allow that?
He lives in Oklahoma.
Knowingly. And is this one of those cases where just slowly, 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 like in a game of Monopoly gone awry, he just started buying up properties and no one noticed until it became 70%. And by the way, the city has labeled him a repeat offender as of Friday. And he could be fined, oh God, I think I saw $9,000.
Since here in this story, he's also been, the company has been criminally charged.
Well, one of the issues legally is that if, in fact, the trash is picked up, and I don't know that I agree with that, the city sent its work crews to clean up all of the properties. It's not like he addressed this. The city sent work crews to clean up the properties, and they are now going to try to get money back from him for the cost of that cleanup.
So what is the problem? He's just not paying for trash pickup?
Correct. He stopped paying the Deffenbaugh or Waste Management.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Pick whatever company is local there. He stopped paying that bill. They stopped coming to collect the trash.
Because normally, if you live in a neighborhood, you own a house, for example, in a neighborhood where there is no HOA, the trash is looped into your water bill more often than not. But how do you do that with an apartment complex? I mean, the tenants can't. I'm going to pay 1/100th because there's 100 apartments.
Right.
And so you would think the apartment complex owner would then have to pay the trash bill. You would put that into the rent.
Yeah, it was factored in at my last apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a separate line item, and it was the same every single month, and it was for, quote, waste management.
So the owner, by the way, through his company, has filed a separate lawsuit against the trash collection service. He says they breached their contract and then defamed his company by lying about who's at fault for trash collection.
How do you solve this?
I don't know. Because you still have to continue paying rent. You still, you know, you as a tenant, you have financial obligations that aren't just going to go away.
Mm-hmm. Do you put a limit on the percentage of apartments in any one city that somebody can own?
Yes.
70 is too high?
Yes.
Well, now how do you go about making those rules? Because we know of a number of families who, you know, obviously those families then own companies, but families here in Kansas City who own series of apartment buildings.
The other issue is the unscrupulous slumlords or owners, Scott, would just start coming up with new LLCs and put them in different names.
Great
and it would
point.
Be hard to track who owns what.
Great point. And wasn't there a Star story several years ago that there is one business or family in Ohio?
Ohio has a huge number of our properties here.
And it's a small town of like 5,000 people. And there's a family there or a company, and they own hundreds of, dare I say, slumlord properties here in Kansas City.
Oh, it's thousands, actually. And they even traced back. There's four different companies, one of them being that Ohio company, that own a large percentage of the rented houses here in the metro.
And if you're curious how long this went on, the trash company is called LRS. They say LRS stopped picking up the trash around Thanksgiving. He says LRS, the trash company, then refused multiple times to start up again, and that's because there's a back and forth between the trash company and the ownership group of these apartments. But just think, from Thanksgiving all through the Christmas holiday season, and then several weeks into January, there's been no trash pickup.
It says here, the company's lawsuit described the situation as an accumulation and unsafe overflow of trash, with unsanitary conditions affecting about 40 of its different properties in the city of Topeka. Eucalyptus, that is Lou McGinnis's company, Eucalyptus has been criminally cited by the city of Topeka due to LRS's breach. And they argue, LRS argues, we stopped picking up the trash because we believe he's looking for another vendor.
What a mess.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Dave and Lennox and the others, hang tight. We do have an open line if you want to grab it, 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
I have two quick scam stories. One is not a topic, and then I think the second story I have for you today is we went to Best Regards Bakery over the weekend. And
fantastic.
Oh, my
bakery.
Gosh. Scott.
I'm not familiar.
Yes, you are. They have sent stuff to the station before. Oh. It is all scratch, all local. It is next door to the Johnny's on 119th.
Okay.
And so we go in there, and the woman in front of me, I could hear her ordering, and she goes, I'll take a Patrick, and I'll take two Andes. And I look down, and they have these cookies that are exactly I mean exactly Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They make them to look exactly like,
oh wow, look at that.
Jerseys, footballs. Oh. So we took some cookies home. It was super fun. And I get up to the counter and the guy goes, "Hey, Dana." And I said, "Hi." And he said, "How does it feel not working here anymore?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Don't you remember someone stole your identity, started collecting unemployment during COVID, and said you worked here, you got a W-2 from here?" I had completely forgotten that story.
So have I.
We talked about it on the air, Scott. Mm-hmm. Sam, do you remember this?
I do.
I remember kind of vaguely getting a fake W-2 that was like I worked.
Yeah, it's ringing a bell.
But I mean, this is how many years ago?
5.
They remembered it. And I'm like, I forgot someone ripped off my name, at least.
I forgot that they used best regards as the company that you allegedly worked for.
I had completely forgotten that. So I remember I filed a complaint with the IRS or whoever and said, this is not me. There was so much fraud during COVID, so much fraud. So anyway, fast forward, I got our cookies, went home, started watching football. And on my work page, I started noticing over the weekend that people were...
Work Facebook page.
Yeah, work Facebook page. People were commenting and replying to that post about Best Regards Bakery. And it's odd because, you know, Sam, sometimes I go in and I'll reply when people ask, like, how did Scott break his toe? I'll reply. Or, you know, where do you get your hair done? I'll reply. But generally, I don't spend hours on that page of every day replying to people. I noticed there were a lot of replies. So I click on one of them, and I don't remember replying, but I click on one of them. Listener David had written something about the cookies, and I clicked on the reply. It's my face. Someone in this past week, Sam, ripped off the photo of you and Scott and I, started another brand new page called Dana Wright, KMBZ, and then started infiltrating the comments section. And what worries me about this is the questions. Let's say Dave replies about the cookies. Oh my gosh, those cookies are great. Fake Dana Wright then went in there and replied to Dave, where do you live?
Wait, did you get cloned again?
Again, mm-hmm. Sam.
Because you got cloned last Monday.
And then Dave, an actual listener, replied, I live in Odessa.
Oh boy.
Fake Dana replies, what do you do for a living? Sweet Dave, our listener, thinks I'm asking him, where do you live and what do you do for a living? So now instead of the cookies, it's dissolved into this, who are you, where do you live, what do you do for a living? This is how fake Brad Pitt scammed that woman out of $800,000.
How does that, where do you live, you know, what do you do for a living?
I'll tell you.
How does that become, I need $850,000?
Now the scammers see that Dave is interacting with someone he believes to be me.
Who has zero followers.
Yep. The KMBZ Dana Wright fake page has zero followers. And if you just clicked on, is this really Dana replying? Right. But it says Dana Wright KMBZ replying. If you just clicked on it, you would see there's no posts on here. They've ripped off some of my posts, by the way.
Now, did you report the last clone account as an impersonation
account? Last one, I reported this. There were two over the weekend and one last week.
Oh, my gosh.
I am telling everyone this as a cautionary tale, not about my page. But anytime someone replies to you on Facebook and says it's Scott or Brad Pitt or Dana or Marge that you know from your bowling league, make sure when you start a back and forth with someone, it's really who you think it is. Because what happens is fake Dana Wright will then direct message him, Scott, and say, hey, thank you so much for listening to the show. I just wanted to let you know you seem like a really nice guy and I'm really having a hard time right now. And I don't want Scott and Sam to know, but, you know, I'm really, I've lost my car. I can't pay my rent. If you could just send me $500. That's how this starts.
But at some point, doesn't that person click on this Dana Wright KMBZ?
The woman who gave Brad Pitt $800,000 didn't.
You're right.
Brad Pitt doesn't even have a Facebook account, Scott. And God knows I'm not comparing myself to sweet Brad. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is when you think you're interacting with someone online, even on my page or a celebrity page like mm-hmm. Brad's or even ESPN, let's say ESPN replies to you, make sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole thing with the Brad Pitt started with somebody impersonating his mother.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
She said, have that detail?
She said, you would be perfect for my daughter.
Or son.
Let me reach out. You would be a perfect daughter-in-law to my son. Let me reach out to Brad and see.
I missed that detail. Yeah. Wow.
I shared it last week.
I should pay more attention.
And that's how it started. And she said, can I put you in touch with my son? And of course, this woman over in France, you know, who's lonely and maybe hasn't been on a date in a long time.
Okay.
and thinks she's with talking to Brad Pitt's mom, says, yeah, of course. So then here comes this correspondence with fake Brad Pitt. And Danny, you saw the picture last week online where it says, love you, Ann. And
they've
says,
super, yeah, they've superimposed.
Well, it was AI.
He's holding up a sign that they've clearly used some program to hold. You don't even have to have graphics knowledge to do that. And it says, love you, Ann.
Well, they AI'd him in a hospital bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Looking heavier than Brad Pitt is.
Mm-hmm.
More sickly than Brad Pitt would be. And this woman thinks she has a relationship with Brad Pitt. Here's what I've never understood about, you know, this long-distance relationship. Brad Pitt is one of the most desirable bachelors in the world. And he's just going to start up a relationship online with someone he's never met? He can have anybody he wants.
Her own daughter sat her down, Scott, and said, Mother, this is fraud. This is not real.
Mm-hmm.
And
but they
she
don't want to hear that.
Replied to her own daughters, you just wait. You wait until he comes here to see me.
He's not coming.
No, he's not coming.
And neither is your $850,000 back. I mean, who writes a check for $850,000?
It's the frog in the boiling pot of water, Scott. It doesn't start with $850,000. Hmm. It starts with five.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 913-586-7798. From the text line, Dana, I just located both of your fake accounts, and I have blocked them.
I have blocked and reported and hidden the comments, but the second you do that, it's whack-a-mole, Scott. Another one pops up, which is why I'm telling you, no matter who you are back and forthing with on the internet, just take the extra step to be sure that that account really exists.
Now, let me ask you this, because I have never had this problem, but my account is limited to 5,000 Facebook friends. Your work account is an open account, right?
Yeah.
And so anybody can just jump on there and you can't stop them, right?
To comment, yes. You can't just post a photo on my page, but to comment, yes, it's open.
And so you delete the one from over the weekend.
And another one pops up.
They just create another email address. Come back as Dana Wright, KMBZ.
Because if you think there's an entire staff in Silicon Valley working diligently to shut down fake Dana Wright pages, it's just not happening.
They're not fact-checking anymore. They're not going to go after the people that are pretending to be you.
If they're not shutting down fake Brad Pitt, they ain't shutting down fake Dana Wright.
Jacob in Platte City. Hello.
Hey, Scott. Yeah, hi. Facebook ain't going to do nothing about it. They do not care. I've been fighting this the same as Dana. As you guys know, I sell emergency vehicle equipment products. And the scamming is just as prevalent in that industry. I mean, we've gone as far as anything we post in any Facebook page or my business page, anything. We've all had to really heavily watermark our pictures because here within the last month, there have been a lot of these pages, websites, and stuff popping up. And they're literally stealing the photos of our products, myself and other high volume sellers, and posting them as they are selling them, and even stealing the descriptions and everything word for word. And fortunately, it's a small community, and most of us know what each other's workbenches and photo habits look like, so we're able to pick it out pretty quick. But I mean, I don't know how many people have gotten scammed by these people that are stealing our photos of our products, but it's terrible.
Jacob, appreciate the call. Joe in Kansas City. Hello, Joe.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say before this story broke, there was a story about a woman in Wichita, and I actually know this woman not well, but I know of her and spoken to her. She got scammed out of about $100,000 from quote unquote Matthew McConaughey. And same thing. She, you know, it was a step-by-step process. And I just want to say the way you spot these scams, first of all, when they tell you, keep this secret, you know, keep this between us. I'm so embarrassed
yep.
that, you know, here I am, a world famous movie star, and I need $2,000 from you. If anytime someone tells you to keep something secret, that should be a red flag that something's wrong. But they want you to keep it secret because they know if you tell a relative or a friend, they're going to tell you it's a scam. So that's one thing. The other thing is, if you can get to a person who's in the middle of this, and I've unfortunately known several, some of whom I was able to get through and some of whom I haven't, is deny one of their requests. Especially like a small request, just say, hey, I still love you and I know we're still going to get married, but I can't send that money right now. And then see what the reaction is. If the reaction is
anger,
violent, or threatful, then you know that's not true. But if it's understanding, of course, it's probably still not true. But that's the other way you can unmask these scammers.
Joe, thank you. By the way, somebody says, just pay the $11 a month, have the blue verification check mark. Dana's does have the blue check. So does her imposter.
They faked it.
Mm-hmm.
And under Dana Wright KMBZ, the K and the M are in giant letters. The B and the Z are in baby letters. And there are no posts, save for one, that they ripped off from me 3 years ago.
You have 40,000 followers. They claim they have 38K.
They don't. It's fake.
I know.
But it looks real if you don't really look.
If you don't
really
know better. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. Story here from the New York Post. How to be the most hated person at the airport. This guy nailed it. Airports are increasingly becoming like personal grooming stations away from home. In the latest horrifying fly gene violation, an oblivious traveler was spotted clipping their toenails in the boarding area of a crowded airport. Quoting here from a Reddit tour, this guy clipping his toes while I waited at the airport. So they wanted to bleach their eyes after seeing it.
Now, fingernails is one thing. I can get behind the public clipping of the fingernails. I've done it. I'll do it again. I won't apologize
Sam,
for it.
Sam, you've done it in the newsroom.
I've done it in this studio. Actually, they're getting kind of long. I might do it here in a minute. But toenails? Put the dogs away.
Do you do it at least over a trash can?
I am very diligent in making sure that there are no strays whatsoever.
That's impossible. There's always one errant stray, and mm-hmm. in my experience, it usually lands in someone's lunch, in my coffee. You cannot control the strays, which is why that is something you need to do in the privacy of your own bathroom, door shut.
Well, thankfully, there's no one else in here but me to have their lunch or coffee.
Sam, I was out in the newsroom with you a couple of years ago when you were clipping your nails at your workstation.
Yeah, that is true. You made me stop. And then I had to clip my last two fingers in the privacy of this room.
Good. It's uncouth. It's inappropriate in the workplace.
But I would argue that your feet shouldn't even be bare in an airport.
You've never worn flip-flops to the airport?
I have not. No, actually, the sheer thought of that
is
disgusting
to me. Well, that's gross,
to me.
But I do tend to wear shoes that are easy off and on because I am not TSA pre yet. And you want it to be easy and quick when you've got to take your shoes off.
Says one armchair etiquette specialist, quote, there is a subgroup of human being, a subgroup. Wow.
You're a subgroup.
Of human beings that think clipping their toenails outside of their own personal dwelling is somehow okay. I see it in the office, at restaurants.
Oh, no.
Airports. I would never clip my nails unless it was like an emergency, like a hangnail or something, anywhere but my home.
Now, I try to do it at home, but sometimes you forget and, you know, you get your work done early and you're like, might as well.
But why do you even have nail clippers at your desk?
It's part of my EDC.
Okay.
You never know. You might get a hangnail. Going to deal with that hangnail for the rest of the day? No, you're going to pull out your EDC clippers. You're going to take care of it.
You were not, this was not a hangnail,
no,
Sam.
No, this was regular clipping.
You were clipping all 10 at the same time.
That is true.
draft lyrics to Bob Dylan's song, Mr. Tambourine Man, went for more than $500,000 as part of a weekend sale of dozens of items related to the iconic American singer-songwriter. About 60 Dylan items, including photos, music sheets, his guitar, pencil drawings, and oil painting, were sold on Saturday in Nashville, Tennessee. The items generated nearly $1.5 million in sales overall through in-person and online bidding.
I'm going to watch that movie. Are you?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Dylan's kind of like Nirvana to me.
I know.
I don't like it, but I respect it.
But the musical biopics are the best biopics that we have out there, okay? And
apparently,
I don't think this is going to be any different. And I'm always fascinated by the rags to riches story of how does one person end up being Elton John or being Queen or being Bob Dylan?
Who have they not made a biopic?
Prince.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd watch that all day long.
Kiss?
No.
You wouldn't watch it?
No.
How four guys got together, came up with this goofy little idea to 7-inch heels and face paint?
No, after the Pamela and Tommy, I don't ever need to watch a rock biopic again.
You watch Queen? Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, that was different because I knew, and I don't love Queen's music, I really don't, but I knew that it was an award-winning performance. I knew it was going to win all of the awards and at least be nominated for all of the awards.
Right.
So I think I remember thinking, like, let's go see it because I want to see what all the fuss is about.
See, and don't go like I just did with you with Queen. I'm not the biggest Elton John fan. I mean, I respect him, but I watched Rocket Man and was blown away.
God, it's good.
What a performance.
I am way behind on the biopics. I haven't seen any of them.
You've never seen Walk the Line?
Mm-mm.
You never saw What's Love Got to Do with It?
Nope.
Sam, start with,
Walk the Line.
I agree with
we
you,
we watched
Dana.
That again last weekend because he had never seen it. It gets better every time you watch
it. It really is good. Waylon Jennings near the end of the movie.
Dressed like you're going to a funeral.
Maybe I am.
Maybe I am.
By the way, when we get back, I'm going to double up on one of your Run, Do Not Walks.
Yes.
And we have to talk about your glasses.
Okay.
Because I think they're creating more problems than they solve. Dana's the news coming up.
We're falling apart.
In 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.